Three candles are lit on our Advent wreath. And at the close of this service, we will light the fourth candle of our Advent wreath. And then tomorrow, Christmas Day, we will light the white candle, which we call the Christ candle. I don't know all of the history of the Advent wreath, but if you look it up, you'll find that some scholars take the practice back to the medieval times. But other scholars say that our modern-day Advent wreath comes from a practice developed by a Lutheran pastor who lived in Germany in the 1800s. He didn't develop his practice for a worship service like this. He was ministering to poor children in a home, and they, during the month of December, they were constantly asking him, "Is it Christmas yet?" You know, sort of like, "Are we there yet?" If you're traveling someplace far away on Christmas Day, "Is it Christmas yet?" And so to put an end to their question, he took a wheel off a cart, and he put 19 red candles around that wheel and four white candles for the Sundays of the month. And he would light a candle each day, helping the children understand when Christmas and Christmas Eve would arrive. And very quickly, his practice started to be used in churches and spread to churches and was changed into our modern-day Advent wreath with the four candles for Sundays and the Christ candle for Christmas. I don't know why that Lutheran pastor decided to use candles to mark the days leading up to Christmas, but I do know this. Light is a beautiful image of Christ Jesus. It's an image that we are told about in the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at this day. I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Today we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. So please open your Bibles to that, and if you are able, please stand for the reading. We stand when reading the scriptures here at First Church, recognizing that this is God's holy word. We stand in honor of him, listening to his word to us. And today his word declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we pray that you would help us to see clearly this day the light of Christ. Help us understand why we need that light. Help us understand how amazing and beautiful the light of Christ is. And then help us to respond rightly. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Seven times in these opening verses of the Gospel of John, we are told Jesus is the light. That's a lot of emphasis. And later in the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus described himself as the light. In John chapter 8, we hear Jesus say, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in John chapter 12, verse 46, we hear Jesus refer to his advent. his reason for coming into the world. And he says this, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. By quoting Jesus, the Apostle John is again emphasizing that Jesus is the light. And as we continue our study today, we're going to see that there are other times in John's gospel when this truth about Jesus being the light is highlighted. So it's quite clear when you read John's gospel that Jesus is the light. John's gospel informs us that this is a truth we need to know. This is a truth we need to understand. This is a truth we need to respond to. And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we are going to dig deep into this truth that Jesus is the light. And the first point I'm going to highlight is this. Light and dark are opposites. Light and dark are opposites. I'm highlighting this point because the Word of God highlights this point. Every verse I just read to us in the Gospel of John makes it clear that dark and light are opposites. Look at them. In verse 5 of our passage, John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. They're opposites. They are opposed to each other. They're against each other. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You cannot walk in darkness and the light at the same time. They're opposites. And in John 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus came to set us free from the darkness so that we no longer have to walk in it. Light and dark are opposites, which means we should not seek to have both in our lives. Or put another way, we should never dim spiritual light. In our homes, we sometimes dim our electrical lights, don't we? When watching TV, sometimes we dim our electrical lights. When having a romantic dinner with our spouse, we might dim the electrical lights. Sometimes we turn off the lights completely, and most of us don't sleep with the lights on, do we? We might use a little nightlight in the hallway, but we don't have the lights blaring when we're trying to sleep. We turn them off. And if the sun is out when we are trying to sleep, we pull the darkening shades. We sometimes purposefully remove ourselves from natural light and electrical light, but we should never do that with spiritual light. They're opposites. We should not seek to mix the light of Christ with the darkness of the world. We should not try to keep one foot in each, even though it's tempting to do so. I ask you today to consider how much and in what ways you might be doing so, trying to mix the two, trying to keep one foot into each place. Are you thinking about Jesus during the week? Are you seeking to obey his word during the week? Do you use the Bible to define your theology but then ignore it when making decisions? Do you come to church every now and then to just add a little light to your life? We're going to see today how dangerous it is to try to mix the two, to try to keep one foot in each place. Light and dark are opposites. That's the first point. Now, to introduce my second point, I'll ask you this question. When do you most appreciate the light? When do you most appreciate the light? I think we would all agree that we most appreciate the light when we are aware of danger lurking in the darkness. That's my second point. We most appreciate the light when we are aware of danger that's lurking in the darkness. When I was a small child, I had a recurring nightmare that involved three things. The dreams were always a bit different, But there are always, most typically, three things in these recurring nightmares that I would have. One thing was this small, little, hairy creature. It had legs, it had arms, it had eyes, but it was really just kind of this fluffy, hairy ball. If I would have thrown water on it, it would have just been sticks with eyes and a mouth. That's all it would have been. It doesn't sound very scary, but that thing would chase me, and it scared me in my nightmare. So that was one thing that was always in these nightmares. The second thing in every nightmare was a light bulb blowing out. I would turn on the light switch, and the light would come on briefly, and then pow, it would go out. And I'd be standing there in the dark, and it was terrible when that happened. No light, all darkness, and I knew that this little hairy creature was coming for me. And then third, there were always stairs. I would start to run from the monster, and I would always end up falling down some stairs because I couldn't see because it was dark. And just as I would start to fall, that's when I would wake up and be greatly relieved that I was in my bed. Now, every part of those dreams caused fright. But I have to tell you, the most terrifying part of those dreams was when the light would go out and I would be standing there in the dark. We all appreciate the light when we're facing danger that lurks in the darkness. Even, this is true even when it's mild danger in the darkness. I love the flashlight on my smartphone for that reason. When I get up at night and I don't want to turn on the, you know, all the ceiling lights, it's great to have my flashlight so I don't stub my toe, which I hate. It's also nice because that way I don't step on the cats. I'm not sure if I appreciate that more, if they appreciate it more. I know if I stepped on the cats, I would be in the doghouse, so that's a nice app to have. We appreciate the light when we understand the dangers that are lurking in the darkness. And dear friends, spiritual darkness, emphasis on spiritual here, spiritual darkness is full of danger. It's full of danger. I'm going to make that clear by taking us to some passages. The first passage is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. The verses say, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart." From those verses, we learn that spiritual darkness blinds our understanding. It hides the truth. It deceives. Those who are standing in spiritual darkness are ignorant of the truth, or worse, hard-hearted against the truth. They cannot see the truth, even though it's very apparent. I'll give you what I think is one clear example. The fact that people believe life came into existence by chance, apart from the Creator, without a Creator. Think about it. To believe that something as organized and amazing as the human body or flowers or trees utterly happened by chance without any intelligent design, that's blindness. Even if you give it millions and billions of years to happen, that is blindness. But that is what some people believe because they're standing in the dark. And they are hard-hearted against the truth. They cannot see it. Spiritual darkness is deceptive. It's full of lies. It's deceitful. The more you step into the darkness, the more blind you will be to the truth. And I ask you to consider, if you're being deceived, blinded in any way, are you blind to the difference between morality and immorality? Blind to how immorality hurts you and society? Are you blind to the truth that greed will constantly leave you lacking contentment? Are you blind to the truth that Jesus is the one and only way of salvation? Spiritual darkness is dangerous because it blinds our understanding. It's full of lies. Spiritual darkness is also dangerous because it destroys fellowship. It destroys fellowship. Look with me at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the same author as the Gospel of John, and he writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." This passage makes it clear that you cannot have fellowship with God while you are walking in the darkness. And when you don't have fellowship with God, you also don't have fellowship with other Christians. Fellowship with one another is not merely hanging out together, talking together, laughing together. People can do that without any kind of fellowship whatsoever. Fellowship is healthy community. When you have fellowship with one another, you encourage one another with the Word of God, which is truth, and you comfort each other with the Word of God, and you spur one another on with the Word of God, and you also rebuke one another with the Word of God in a loving way, and because you love one another, and you pray together, and you help care for one another. Fellowship is full of servanthood. It's full of beautiful humility. And fellowship with God is similar. When you have fellowship with God, you are reading and understanding His Word by the power of His Spirit who fills you, and you're walking by the power of His Spirit. When you have fellowship with God, God sufficiently protects you, guides you, provides for you, gives you meaningful life. You pray to God, and you know He's listening. You know He answers. Fellowship with God and with God's people is awesome. It's beautiful. And darkness destroys it. Darkness increases suspicion. It increases secrets, greed, selfishness, violence. Darkness leads people to use and abuse each other rather than bless each other. Spiritual darkness is dangerous for that reason. It destroys fellowship. Similarly, spiritual darkness increases hatred. It increases hatred. The Apostle John states this very clearly. He writes in 1 John chapter 2, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Those who walk in darkness will hate and will be hated as well." There is no true love in darkness. There are friends in darkness, comrades and partners in darkness, but there's no true love in darkness. Here's how you know that. The more people let darkness into their lives, the more darkness fills a person's life, the more that person will be unwilling to pray blessings upon their enemies. They won't be willing to bless their enemies the more darkness is in his or her life.